in 2 Corinthians. We in the last chapter, 2 Corinthians chapter 13. Thankful for this place, Brother Keon. What you mean to our hearts, I could never put in words. I've told my church, I said, you owe a lot to Brother Keon, Sullins Branch. We don't know if we'd be here had it not been for what God did in that church to help us and strengthen us along the journey. A lot of times we might have quit. My wife said, honey, do you ever feel like quitting? I said, just about every day, but I ain't found a spot. And God just won't let me. And I'm thankful for that. Amen. I won't say I don't know what you're going through. And maybe you are going through some troubles and valleys. But if you're doing right and you're God's youngin', just keep marching. Hey, God, lady here asked me one morning, said, Preacher Dale, I don't know how y'all doing it. I said, one foot in front of the other, just march on and stay with God. I know who put me in this thing. I know who called me. I know who saved me. And I know who gave me my orders. I'm just going to stay with Him. Thank God, it'll work. Amen. You stay with God, it works. Thank the Lord. 2 Corinthians chapter 13. I'm going to read one verse, if you would. We'll stand. So we'll read one verse if you are able to. Verse number 5. The Bible said, examine yourself whether ye be in the faith. Prove your own selves. Know ye not your own selves, how that Jesus Christ is in you, except ye be reprobates. You can be seated. I just want to preach a simple thought, I guess, this morning on examine yourself. I won't say do you well to examine yourself. You say, but preacher, what if the examination comes out bad? What if I examine my soul and my experience and my so-called conversion? What if I examine that and it comes out bad? Well, it'd be a whole lot better for it to come out bad now than to wait until eternity and you draw your last breath and you never made examination to prove whether or not you're saved. It'd do you well to examine yourself. What kind of a teacher would ever teach a class and never give an examination? Amen. What kind of doctor ever does any good without an examination? Would you get on a ship today that had never been tested and sail out across the sea? Sure you wouldn't. Amen. How are you going to trust it for eternity? Boy, do us well today to examine ourselves. I would say, first of all, examine your experience. Does it line up with Scripture? You say, but preacher, I know what I felt. I ain't talking about your feeling. I'm talking about your experience. Does it line up with the Word of God? Amen. Have you been wrong by God? Have you been convicted of your sin? Have you repented of it and had faith toward the Lord Jesus Christ and believed on Him under the saving of your soul? Does it line up? Does it line up? You say, oh, preacher, I read a tract and I signed a card. I shook a hand. I don't tell you, you better have more than that. Say, preacher, in a Bible school one night, they asked if we wanted to be saved. Said, repeat this. I don't tell you, you better have more than that. There's a whole lot of people being deceived. Friend, by plans that God never had anything to do with. You better know you've been born again. You've been born again. I remember when conviction set in on me. I don't know how long I was in trouble. Boy, I was in bad trouble. My daddy didn't know what was going on. I couldn't eat. I couldn't sleep. I couldn't find rest. I was troubled in my soul, in my spirit. I knew I was 19 years of age. I was working a third shift job. I'd come home in the morning and I'd lay in that bed. I remember many days I was afraid to go to sleep, afraid I'd wake up in hell. I don't tell you, you better examine your experience. You say, preacher, all I did was believe some facts. I knew those when I was 5, but it didn't save me. Amen. That's right, isn't it? I believe that's right. You say, preacher, that's all I got. You better get more than that. I wouldn't want to die with it.
I preached at my church not long ago over where Brother Ronnie is at when Paul said, I'm ready to be offered a time of my departure to hand. I thought a good time. I preached on, will it be enough to die with? Hey, man, Paul said, I'm ready. You better be ready. Examine yourself. Hey, you better examine your experience and make sure it lines up with Scripture. If it ain't Bible, I wouldn't count on it. If it won't line up with that Bible, you say, preacher, when you preach like that, it bothers me. Yeah, that ought to bother you. Amen. You say, preacher, that troubles me. It ought to trouble you. You say, are you trying to get us to doubt our salvation? No! If you got one that's anchored, it'll hold you steadfast and you'll be all right. Amen. But if you examine yourself, I remember, I was down, Brother Terry's there. I was down with preaching and watching my service in South Carolina. I didn't know that I had asthma. I had no idea what an asthma attack was like. And that night I had an asthma attack, and I thought I was a dying. I sat right there on that front seat, and I've all been trained. You don't run out the bathroom and the water fountains and all that stuff during church. And I didn't want to disrupt service. And there's one more preacher, and I think it might have been Brother Terry. And I thought, I'm not going to get up while he's preaching. I'll wait till he gets done. Then I'll get up and go out. Buddy, the longer I sat there, I felt like an elephant sitting on my chest. My left arm was going numb, and Brother George, I thought I was having a heart attack. I remember when it finally got down to midnight, because you know they got to go to midnight, you know, whether God's in them or not sometimes. Finally got down to midnight, and they called everybody in the altar, and I said, now I'll get up, and I got up. I went out that back door and went around there and come in one of them Sunday school classes. I sat down in one of them chairs and leaned against the wall. I said, Lord, if this is it, I'm ready. This is exactly how I want to go. It'll be all right. Hey, got to check out now. Hey, can you say that this morning? I'd examined my experience. Somebody said, oh, I felt goosebumps. Hogwash on goosebumps. Hey, you better know you've been born again. Amen. Somebody said, I know I'm saved. I went down the road one day and I felt the swoosh come in there. And when that happened, I don't tell you something, buddy. You better have something to line up with that Bible right there. If it don't line up with that Bible, I'd junk it and get something that's real. Thank God. Somebody said, well, I guess I'm ahead of myself anyway. I'm going to say this, you better examine your life. Amen. You better examine your life. Somebody said, well, I know I've been a drunk for 30 years, but I remember what I felt that Sunday morning. I won't tell you what you felt won't save you. You better know that you put your faith in Jesus Christ. Amen. So why? Because I'm going to tell you, a real salvation that lines up with Scripture will change your life. It'll make a difference in you. A new creature. All things pass away. All things become new. We got something going on in our area. I don't know where it's coming from. A whole lot of stuff, you know. I've heard it. They say, well, you got to have them first acts of obedience, you know. Yeah, you do. It's called repentance toward God and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. That's the first act of obedience. I'm going to tell you what they'll say. They'll say, don't you need to do something before God saves you? Yeah, you do. You need to repent unto God and have faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. As far as I can tell, according to that Bible, there's three things that's that's the responsibility of a sinner. Repentance, faith, and call on His name. Believe it. I believe that's right. Amen. I'm going to tell you where we're at. They say, well, don't you need to go hug somebody? I don't tell you, you hug everybody that's in the family of God and still die and go to hell. Amen. But He said, ye must be born again. I'd examine my lifestyle. Check it out and see if it lines up. You got an old rebellious heart towards your mom and daddy. I'd check up on my experience. Something ain't adding up. Amen. That's right. They say, preacher, they don't know nothing. I'm going to tell you something of what I thought when I was a young rebellious sinner. But when I got saved, I found out my daddy knew more than I knew. Amen. That old rebellious nature, that'll prove out to you there's something wrong inside. That inner man. That inner man. I'm going to tell you something. God don't save your old flesh. But I tell you what it does. He saves that brother. He saves that inner man on the inside of you. I don't know where he's at in there. But that word of God sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing the divider asunder of soul and spirit. I don't know where that dividing is. Only God does. By the help of the Holy Ghost, that word will get in there and it'll pierce that plate. Thank God he saved that inner man. But when he does, he hands that outer man to that inner man and said, now present him a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God. If you ain't never been born again, you don't have to do that. Amen. Your life won't add up. Your life won't measure up. It won't be right examining your life. Are you wanting God's way? Are you wanting your way? Well, there's a whole lot of folk this morning. They do some examination. That night I thought I was having a heart attack. Everybody begged me to go to the hospital. I didn't go that night, Brother Ken. I'm going to be perfectly honest with you why I wouldn't go that night. I was afraid of what that's going to tell me. I was afraid that's going to say, well, you're having a massive heart attack and you're going to die if you keep preaching. I thought, well, I just won't go have the examination. And I'll just keep preaching. And that doctor won't have nothing to say about it. Amen. That's kind of what I was thinking, you know. But it kept getting worse and my breathing was worse. I found out I had asthma, that's what it was. I want to tell you something. This morning, a lot of preachers say, well, don't take this personal. I want you to take it personal this morning.
That's good.
I don't care if you've got preaching degrees and ordinations. Certificates on your wall. I don't care if your husband's a preacher, your daddy's a preacher. I don't care who you are. So many people's hanging on to their pedigree and their possessions in the church house, and they're hanging on to some little profession as a 4-year-old. You better know you've been born again. I remember I was preaching in Sawmills, North Carolina, I think it's the name of it. Up there near Lenore. After the service, I was standing there in the aisle, at the end of the aisle, talking to the pastor, and people were shaking hands with me. I seen this young couple back there, and I said, Brother, Pastor, who's that young lady right there? I said, well, her husband pastors such and such church over in Hickory. I said, what about her? He said, well, that's his wife. I don't know much about her. I said, she ever been born again? He said, well, I don't know. I don't know anything much about her. And I said, well, while I was a preaching tonight, the Lord troubled my soul about her. And I got back to service on Wednesday night, and they wasn't there because that preacher pastored the church. Got back there on Wednesday night, and my brother pastor come to me and said, Brother Dale, you ain't going to believe what happened last night. I said, what? He said, last night after I got home, I got a phone call. I said, it was that young preacher. You remember him standing in the house? I said, I do. I said, he pulled off on the side of Interstate 40 over there. I said, his wife said, honey, pull over. He said, what's the matter? You sick? I said, I'll find a bathroom. I'll find a service station. No. I said, what's the matter with you? You got to go back. She said, no. I'm going to hell. And I feel like I'm going right now. Pull over. He said, I pulled over the car. Said, you got out there and been over one of them guardrails and got born again. Thank God it don't matter who you are. It don't matter what you've done. It don't matter who your family is. Have you ever been born again? I'm preaching to folk this morning, never been troubled about your soul. I'm preaching to young people this morning, never been on an altar about their soul. Hey, examine yourself. Hey, God, have you ever been born again? I've seen church members get saved. I've seen deacons' wives get saved. I've seen preachers get saved. I remember a preacher coming to Kentucky. Got saved that morning. Brother Billy told him, said, what you need to do is go home and resign your church. God don't call lost men to preach. I don't know if he did it or not, but he told him right. Amen. I'll tell you something. I think there's a whole lot of folk in pulpits never been born again. Amen. I think there's a whole lot of folk going out trying to tell people how to be saved that don't know their self, and they can't take them any further than they've been. Examine yourself. Examine your experience. Examine your lifestyle. Say, oh, preacher, I like to drink a little and cuss a little, slip around, do this a little. I want to tell you something. If God don't save you out of sin, He sure don't save you in it. Amen. God don't save you to live in sin. God don't save you to walk that way. God don't save you to continue like you are. Salvation will make a new creature out of it. One fella said, well, we went to the prison. Said he went around one of them wrestlers, you know, these prison camps. And that tells you about what it was. And he said, we had so many professions. I said, really? He said, yeah. He said, we're going to go back next week and tell them what they signed up for. I said, God help such mess. Yeah. I'll never forget that first night in a revival meeting in a prison camp up in Conley Springs, North Carolina. I preached on hell that night, and all them men that's with me got scared after death because they was afraid they was going to get cut or something like that. I said, boys, don't worry about it. It's going to be all right. And I preached on hell that night. I told that crowd, I said, I don't know what you're in for. I don't know what you're convicted for. I said, I don't know if you're guilty or innocent, but I'm going to tell you you're guilty. Every one of you is born in sin, shame and iniquity. Every one of you is worthy of hell, and you deserve death. And not because you're in here, but because you're in flesh.
That's right.
Amen. Sin nature. Our first birth, a bad birth. Bad seed. My children born a bad seed. That's right. Amen. Amen. Oh! I was in there that first night. I'll never forget. There's several on the altar that night. I don't remember how many said they got saved, but I remember over on this one side, there's an old boy. He was over there and he's redheaded. He looked like he was probably about my age, maybe a little older. I remember somebody said, come here, preacher. I can't understand what he said. I got over there and I ain't making fun of this man. I really ain't. I'm not making fun. I'm just letting you know what's going on. And I got over there and Art was his name. I said, hey, buddy, what do you want? Hallelujah. He couldn't talk plain. And I said, what? Hallelujah. I said, what? He said, huh? I said, I got it, buddy. You need to be saved. He said, yeah. I said, you believe God will save you? He said, yeah, yeah, yeah. I said, you really believe it? He said, yeah, yeah, yeah. I said, you're going to live by him and he saves you? Yeah, 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 yeah. So thank God we started praying. I said, pray. And we got to praying. Man, we got to pray around that altar. Before long, old Art come up out there. I asked him, I said, what's your name? I said, what? I said, what? I don't mean this bad, but really, luckily, he had it tattooed on his arm. He rolled his sleeve. I said, your name's Art? Yeah. Yeah, Art. I said, Art? I said, we really believe God saved you. Well, Art got to praying. It wasn't long. Oh, Art looked up out there. And I was still praying. I hadn't quit praying yet, Brother Ray. He looked up out there and grabbed me by my shirt sleeve and shook me. And I said, what is it, buddy? He said, his name. I said, what is it? He saved me. He saved me. I said, glory to God. Oh, you believe the Lord saved you? Yeah. Yeah, 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 yeah. I said, you going to live for him? Yeah, yeah. As on Monday night, buddy, we come back to you tonight. Oh, Art stood up over there. We start saying, come on. Oh, Art stood up. He said, hey, you know. That man was leading the saints. He said, what? He said, hey, you know. I said, I think he said I need to sing a song. He said, yeah, yeah, yeah. I thought, Lord, what's he going to sing and how are we going to stand it? He said, not now, Art. We're singing congregations right now. Oh, Art wasn't happy. He got up, went back there to that chaplain. That chaplain said, okay, just wait a minute. Just go back, you sing. Went back to his seat, and after a little bit, that chaplain come up. He said, Art won't sing a song. Oh, Art got up behind that podium, and he said, in that old messed up English, and couldn't hardly talk. He said, I don't know if I can remember all the words, but my mama used to sing this to me when I was a boy. And oh, Art, with the clearest voice, started singing, Jesus loves me. Amen. This I know for the Bible. Tells me so. And God fell in that place. I had some guys with me that would shout. They said, preacher, it's to have you in there. You couldn't have shouted if you wanted to. They're down in the floor weeping like babies, like drunk men. And the glory fell in there. Hey, I'm going to tell you to make a difference in you. When God saves you, He'll make a new creature out of you. Oh, thanks, Pastor Wade. Thank God. You better examine that experience you got. Say, preacher, I know a preacher. I had a lady in his church. She was hanging on to She's hanging on some paper some knucklehead preacher gave her. And I mean that. It aggravates me. There's a lot of deceivers out there deceiving people. There's going to be tons in hell that went thinking they was all right because some preacher said they was. She said, I'm going to cut it short. But he went to her house because she said she's sick. He said, what's the matter with you? And finally, after a while of talking to her, he finally perceived that she's under conviction. He said, sister, what? He said, I think maybe God's dealing with you about your soul. No, that can't be it, preacher. She got her Bible and pulled this piece of paper out. She said, look here, I got this piece of paper. He said, this certifies that in the blank had her name. Accepted Jesus on this day and was baptized on such and such day, and the preacher signed it. She said, preacher, I know I'm saved because of this right here. I don't tell you some of them hanging on to a church membership, and then a church letter. I don't tell you this church would be better off to rip your letter up in little bitty pieces and let you look at it, because it ain't going to get you to heaven. Amen. Ordination papers won't do it. Preaching license won't do it. Hey, you must be born again.
Amen.
He said, let me have that paper. She said, you can't have it, preacher. This is mine. She said, I pin it on my pajamas every night before I go to sleep. So if I die, my children will know I'm okay. You better have more than that. You better have more than that. I remember, he said, Brother Dale said, I left that house discouraged. He said, but I want to tell you, a few weeks went by. He said, that woman come down that side aisle, hit that altar. That morning, a weeping and a squalling, holding her Bible up, her bosom, just a weeping and a squalling, trying to quote scripture and pray. Said she got down on that altar, and I said, what you want? She said, you're right, preacher. I'm lost. I'm lost. I'm lost. I've never been saved. He said, where's that paper at? And she handed it to him, and he said, look, I'm here. She looked up there. He tore that thing up in little bitty pieces. He said, that's how good that is. He said, that's what good that'll do you. He said, that right there is going to send you to hell. You better get a hold of God. A whole lot of folk hanging on to a whole lot of things. What are you hanging on to tonight? This morning, what are you cleaving to this morning? I don't know what all I said. I didn't have no abracadabra magic words, and I didn't repeat no prayers when I got saved. Nobody told me how to pray it and what to say. One man come over to his Bible, Brother Dale. I said, Brother, I know all that. I believe all that. I said, I know where you're going next. I can quote them to you. I've heard them all my life. I said, I know you're going down that Romans Road. That church had already started going that way. And I said, I know where you're going. I said, you're going to go over there and you're going to tell me all of sin and come short of the glory of God. And we're all sinners and the wages of sin is death. I said, I know what you're fixing to do. I said, I know where you're going after that. I said, I know what you're going to say. I know. He said, well, what do you want me to do? I said, pray! Because I'm going to hell right now! Just pray! He said, okay. And just for long. Amen. He started praying. I felt my mama behind me. I knew she was a praying. I felt my granny's hand on my back. My granny was a praying woman. I felt my granny on my back. And the preacher got down. I was dead like his. He put his arm, run his arm in mine. And it wasn't long. I heard that church hymnal close. And they hit the floor. And my daddy went leading, singing, got down there and got to praying. But after a while, Brother Ray, somebody went in further than any of them could go. And got down in the middle of it and moved in my heart and set up a bone and made it real to me. This I knew that day and that moment. Preacher, you ever doubted? Well, there have been a few times I do stupid things and the old devil said, you can't be saved. You wouldn't have thought that. But it ain't hard for me to get rid of him. Amen. You say, why is that, preacher? Go, when I go back there to that spot, I can remember what God did in my heart that night and made a new creature out of me.
Amen.
Caleb's getting married. I got to quit. Caleb's getting married. They're having a shower there at the home church, and they got a fellowship area built over there. They got a big foyer and had two nice wing-back chairs with a table between them. They got two aisles in that church. And I guess my spot's probably about the end of that one first aisle there. Right in there at that altar, about 3 to 4 foot on this side of the pulpit. I remember that thing is over, and I was carrying them wing-back chairs out there. And they've got a door that when it closes, kind of formed a glass cross in it, you know, in the middle. I went by that door and I was carrying them chairs and just, I don't know, Brother Vernon, I just kind of leaned over and looked through that glass and looked down there and seen my spot. And I went over and set that chair down and I went back by and on my way by, I just kind of looked down through there again, you know. And I got to thinking about what God did for me one Sunday night. Right there in that little spot of the carpet. I brought that other chair by and I just kind of looked in. I set it down and I thought, I got to thinking by now there's tears coming off my cheeks. And I was looking down through there and I finally just turned around. Brother George said, I'll forget it. I hit them doors and went down that aisle. I'm down there in that little old place and said, Lord, I thank you. Ain't God one Sunday night in me. Lord, you come by this little place and say, the dogs like me. Hey, I know I'm saved. Thank God. You better know you're saved this morning. I don't say examine your experience. Is it scriptural? Examine your lifestyle. Is it matching up with somebody that's really been born again? I don't tell you what would be real good for you to do this morning. Examine your eternity. Where are you headed this morning? There ain't no go rest high on a mountain. You draw your last breath and exhale the last time in this life. Your soul's going to go either one or two places. It's either going to be borrowed away unto heaven by the angels or it'll be in hell. Oh, Brother Mace Jackson said it in that hospital room. Y'all heard it probably. He said, I was in that hospital room. That man said, preacher, you see them two men out there dressed in white around that light pole? He said, no, I don't see nobody. He said, right there they are, preacher, under that light pole. He said, they're sitting there standing out there waiting. They're coming to get me. He said, I don't see nobody. There ain't nobody out there. He said, after a while, I prayed with him left. And he said, about the time I got in the elevator, I heard him call the code, you know, that men, he's a checking out. He's a dying, you know, if something's happening, they need to get in there. It's an emergency. And he said, they called that room number. He said, I went back when I went in the doors. The Lord said, them two done come and gone. And he ain't here no more. He said, he checked out that day. Hey, I seen the other side of the coin too. I was working with Pepsi Cola and I was back in the cooler putting drinks in Far City, North Carolina. The manager, he always called me preacher. She said, she come in there running and screaming. She said, preacher, come here. I need your help. I come out. She said, out in the parking lot, there's a man. She said, he's gone crazy. I got out there. He's up on the hood of his car. He's a fighting something. He said, get these dogs off me. Get them off, get them off, get them off. They called the police. After a while, the police come. I couldn't get him calmed down. He wouldn't let me pray with him. I couldn't do anything. He just pushed me away. I remember after I got off work that day, they hauled him off, you know, and after I got off work, I went to the hospital and I went to check on him. They said, are you family? I said, no, I'm a preacher. I was on the scene. I want to find out how it went. They said he didn't even make it to the hospital. I don't know, Brother Ray. I've always thought them demons just were dragging him off into hell. Say, I don't believe that. You will. Said that rich man Lazarus. So Lazarus didn't have anything. Probably didn't have a home. Didn't even have a table to eat at, much less bread to eat. Except what was thrown on his little old coat. But he knew the Lord. He had something in his favor. That rich man, there he was, had everything going for him. Rich. increased in goods, dressed in purple and fine linen. He's royalty. I mean, he was somebody. Fared sumptuously every day. But then the day came when it turned for him. Had every opportunity. I don't know if the Lord may have laid Lazarus there at his gate for a roadblock for him on his way to hell. Somebody to tell him about the Lord. Because somehow or another, when he got in hell, he knew how to cry for mercy. I'd say he'd never done that in this life, but he's heard it before. I don't know where he heard about it. Maybe at the gate when he stepped over it or kicked him and said, "Get on out of here." But one day it came. Young person, God's put some roadblocks in your way. Mom and daddy loves you and tries to lead you in the right direction. That preacher preaches to you about the salvation of the Lord. And that hell's hot. And heaven's real. Hallelujah. Salvation's eternal. Amen. Thank God that man of God that warns you. He's put some roadblocks in your way. Hey, he's put some flashing lights and some flags are waving and some detour signs. And if you're going to march on through them, you'll get your reward, all right. It'll be a life of hell. Eternity of burning. And a place where the worm dieth not. Neither is the fire quenched. That's a real place, you know. You better examine your eternity. I don't know how it happened with y'all, and I don't know what went on with y'all. But that night in that altar, the Lord told me I was going to heaven. He told me I was saved. He took all that dread and that fear of hell away. And he put a hope in me. Not a hope soul, but a hope that's already anchored. That's already sealed. He sealed me, you see, when he put that earnest of the Spirit in there. See, when Noah built the ark, he pitched it within and without. But he didn't seal the door. God shut the door. God sealed the door. God sealed me. I believe that's right. When he saved me, he sealed me. It's fixed. Preacher, I don't believe that. Well, read John 3:16. That ought to clear it up for you. Whosoever believeth in him shall not perish but have what? And who's talking there? It's Jesus talking there. And he said, "Everlasting." If he don't know what kind of life it is, I don't know who does. Amen. He said, "It's everlasting life." Who are you? Who am I to argue? Amen. Hey, you better examine your future. You better examine your eternity. You better examine yourself this morning. I'm going to tell you, it'd do you well. I know what we do before we come to church. We got in front of that mirror and spend all that time on that hair and that makeup. And spend all that time making sure your tie is straight or your hair is curled just right and your makeup's just perfect. Spend all that time making sure that tie matches the outfit or them shoes in the bag. Spend a lot of time examining this old outer man. I'll tell you what we need to do this morning. We need to do some examination on the inner man. You better examine yourself. There's some folk out here this morning, if you ain't careful, you're going to come up, you're going to say, "I won't do it now, maybe later. Maybe another day, maybe another time, maybe another hour, maybe another meeting, maybe another service, maybe another day. I don't know what you're waiting on, but when the day comes, it just might be too late. How when I get back to my next church on Sunday, hey, God may not deal with you Sunday. I'll wait till the next meeting. God may have you in hell before the next meeting. Jacob! Examine yourself. Examine yourself. You say, "Oh, preacher, I gotta be okay for what I have done in the church. I must be alright." Hey, you know what I was doing. was 19. I was teaching youth in Sunday school. I was leading a choir. I was singing in a quartet. And I was lost. It don't matter what you do at church. That ain't going to get you in. He said, marvel not. Nicodemus said, I say unto you, you must be born again. No matter what you know, no matter what you do, no matter who you are, you must be born again. Examine yourself. I'd examine myself this morning if I was you. It'd do you well just to look inward. Examine your experience. Is it right? Is it real? Does it line up with the Word of God and Scripture? Amen. Examine yourself. Examine your lifestyle. Are you living a Christian life? Are you a Christian? Are you a child of God? Will your works prove out? Will your lifestyle prove out? Examine your eternity, friend. Whole lot of Baptist folk in hell. Whole lot of good people in hell. I'm going to tell you, there's coming a day it's going to be too late to pray. Too late to cry for mercy. Too late to beg Him to save you. There's coming a day when it'll be too late to even beg for water. There'll be no hopes. Lord, I know. As far as I know, I've done what I need to, if y'all would stand. I'm pretty sure I've done what the Lord wants me to this morning. Say, preacher, I'm afraid to examine myself. And I tell you this morning, I'd be afraid not to. Eternity's closer than we realize. I may not make it off this mountain today. But I've examined myself. And it's proved now, Brother John. I'd examine myself this morning, young lady. Oh, yes, I'd examine myself, young man. Hey, Mama, I'd examine myself. Whether you be in the faith. Do you know? Have you got assurance in your soul? Is there assurance in your heart that you know beyond any shadow of a doubt you've been born again? I'd settle that. I'd examine myself, that's you. Preacher, I'm trying to quit. As far as I know, I think I'm done.